Hello and welcome to the Gallen Education Podcast. Based in Madison, Wisconsin, we are in the business of helping students find success. We offer college counseling, standardized test preparation, academic tutoring, and executive function coaching. Our podcast explores issues and ideas that students and families may want to know more about surrounding the college search and application process.
I'm Liz Jackson, Gallen's Director of College Counseling.
And I'm Paula Wheeler, a college counselor with Gallen. And today we are excited to be joined by our colleague, Emma Lance, one of Gallen's fantastic college counselors. Hi, Emma. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and we're interested in your experience in college counseling before joining Gallen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you both so much for having me on. Yes, I am Emma Lance, and I've worked with Gallen for, gosh, almost a year now, part-time, and going to be going full-time soon, which is very exciting. Before coming to Gallen, I also work at a high school doing college counseling there, an international high school in Bethesda, Maryland, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. Prior to that, I was an admissions counselor for a university up in the Boston area. And other than that, I've kind of bounced around different student affairs areas at universities. I took a lot of time to sort of figure out what I was interested in doing, but I'm really happy I landed on college counseling. It definitely has become a huge passion, so.
That's amazing. And obviously we're big fans of yours as your teammates. And so obviously, all of us as counselors, we want to help students find colleges that fit them. And sometimes I think it's interesting to hear a little bit about sort of our own journeys to college admissions. And Emma, could you tell us like just a little bit about what was your sort of college admissions journey like when you were in high school? Where did you go to high school, and what helped you sort of choose your college experience?
Yeah, so that is actually kind of a complicated story. I would say that my experience is not typical. I'm originally from Washington, D.C., and I'm still here. And I went to the Edmund Burke School, which is a very small private school in D.C. My graduating class was about 60 kids. And it was a very kind of, I don't know, hippy dippy, crunchy granola kind of place. Like we called our teachers by their first names. And, it was just a very unique school, especially compared to a lot of other private schools in the D.C. area. When it came time to look at my college options, I was really grateful in that our college counselor, Jay Cole, was very much into what is the best fit for our students, rather than, what is the highest ranking, what is the most selective school that you can get into. And so when I went to him and I started working on my college applications, I, with him and my parents, we sort of worked out this strategy where my dad is a professor at Georgetown University, which is where I ended up going. And because he was a full-time professor there, I got to go for free, which was huge. And so between that and then my other schools I applied to, I pretty much only applied to public universities in addition to Georgetown because there's a really great program in DC called DC TAG or the DC Tuition Assistance Grant, which because DC is not a state, if you're in a certain income bracket, you'll get up to $10,000 to make up for the discrepancy between in-state and out-of-state tuition at any state school in the country. So all of the colleges that I applied to were either public universities that were a little bit on the less expensive side and Georgetown. So my list looked a little, kind of different from a lot of kids. And I ultimately ended up choosing Georgetown, partly because of the price tag, but also because I loved the atmosphere and I love Washington, D.C. and wanted to stay.
That's so
That,
awesome.
yeah, that's super interesting. And yeah, definitely a little bit of a unique experience and pathway. So very curious about what you like best about Georgetown and maybe what you found most challenging or difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one thing that I really loved about Georgetown is that everybody everybody that I met there was so passionate about what they wanted to do, whether it was from student activities to their major to internships they were doing. Like, everybody was very active and very excited about learning and excited about getting involved. And so I really loved that that aspect of it. And I also loved seeing, on the accepted students weekend, the students were so involved in kind of showing us what it means to be a Hoya, what it's like going to college at Georgetown and in DC. And they sort of ran the show, which was something that my parents were also really impressed with. And I just got to hear all of their experiences up front, which I think speaks to, the kind of experience you can have at Georgetown that students are willing to, constantly go on about how much they like it. So that was very cool. I would say the most challenging thing about being there, and I don't think this is unique to Georgetown. I think you could probably find this at any college or university, is that there was a lot of like hustle culture that I think you can see even after college. So there were students that would kind of brag about how little sleep they got the night before because they were studying so much. And they'd be like, well, I only slept for 3 hours. Well, I only slept for 45 minutes, and being in the library all night. And, and I think there's a place for, of course, being in the library really late. Like, I definitely had those times myself, but I never really understood that constant hustle though, because I was also a psychology major, so I knew like you need to get enough sleep or else you're not going to be able to remember the things that you're being tested on, or you're not going to be as good of a writer on your essays. And of course not all of the students were like that. And like I said, you can find that at so many universities all over the world. But that was something that I definitely struggled with a little bit.
That's so interesting and such a good point that it's sort of yeah, there can be that sort of keeping up with the Joneses of like how hard are you working at, particularly at competitive colleges, but probably everywhere too. And that yeah, it can feel a little like a sort of a little bit of a hamster wheel, like, staying up all night to then fall asleep during the exam, kind of,
Yeah, exactly. And it just made me kind of second guess myself sometimes of like, am I not doing a good job? And I'd be out like on a Friday evening, and the way the library is set up, you could kind of, there's a lot of windows, so I could see that there were kids in there studying on Friday and Saturday nights, which to each their own. But I even now, like the students I work with, they're like, well, what kind of activities should I be doing all summer? What internship should I do? And I'm like, you're only this age once, so definitely be involved, but also take some time to relax and, just hang out.
Well, and I think that a lot of times we see that by making time for the sort of non-hustle things, the things that you do just because you like them or they're important to your sort of health and well-being, that I think it often people are surprised that then that allows you to engage more fully in the other things. That you're sort of a better student when you get sleep. You're a better, you're more engaged if you don't feel like you're sort of at the end of your rope all the time.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
that makes such good sense. Emma, could you tell us sort of like if kind of go, I guess if you were to like go back in time and give yourself advice when you were in high school about college, what advice do you think you would give yourself?
Yeah, I would say don't worry about finding your path right away. My first semester of college, I was a nursing major, and I don't, looking back, I have no idea why I chose that. I think a big part of it was like, there's always going to be a need for nurses. You can live anywhere in the country and, find a job. And because I was really nervous about not having a career set up for me when I graduated. And, then all that led was to me stepping foot in a human biology class and being like, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. And so I just realized I had to get a little more comfortable with the unknown and just staying in the moment and thinking like, okay, what are the classes I actually enjoy being in? And so I ended up graduating as a psychology major and a philosophy minor with no idea what I wanted to do at that time. And it was really uncomfortable, but I think the biggest advice that I would give myself or any other, high school student would be, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable sometimes. And like maybe what your major is, maybe that'll stay your major. Maybe you'll be pre-med and you will end up being a doctor, but also be open to being flexible. Try a class that is a subject you've never even heard of before, because you never know if you'll end up falling in love with it.
I really like that advice a lot. I also try to tell students, as I'm sure we all do, that even though they may come in working with us feeling like they need to know exactly what they want, just because of course everyone's got friends that do know and maybe have had a path since they were little and know they're going to be a doctor or an actress. But really that what your experience speaks to is, the reality is once you try something, that's when you really get to know, is it for me? Is it up my alley? And college is such a great place to do that. So, it's good that you can tell that kind of relatable story when you work with students. So speaking of that, what is it that you like most, Emma, about being a college counselor?
Yeah, I mean, the kids are the number one thing for, I think, myself and for, majority of other college counselors. I love working with students who are interested in being a really active member of the process. I think there are some students where they kind of want their parents to take care of everything and guide it, but I really love working with students who, whether they know what they want to do or not, they're very passionate and have a good idea of what kind of college they're looking for, and they want to be a teammate with me. They don't necessarily want me to just drag them along and nag them like, their parents might. And they just really want to be fully involved in that process, because I think that it ultimately leads to better outcomes. And I don't necessarily mean more college acceptances, but just better outcomes of, having a happier, less stressful process. So I would say that's definitely my favorite part. But either way, just getting to work with the students is always going to be the best aspect of it.
Sure, that's awesome. Emma, one of the things that I know sort of all of us as counselors kind of geek out about is just learning about different colleges. And particularly, I think we all get excited when we can sort of find, I guess, what we call hidden gems, places that are, terrific schools for the right student, but maybe schools that many of our students don't know about. I'm wondering if you could tell us about sort of one of your favorite hidden gems, a school that you encountered that, maybe isn't one that everyone's heard of, but that is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of my favorite schools that I've gotten to do a fly-in with was Sweetbriar College, in Virginia. And it's in a very kind of rural area. It's a small school, it's a women's school. And there's a few things that I really like about it. One is everybody who gets accepted gets a scholarship, of varying amounts. So that's great, first off. It's also just a very It's a very unique space in that they're very big on agriculture, on campus. And I think it was something like 80% or more. I'm not 100% sure of the number, but at least 80% of the lettuce that is served on in their dining hall was grown on campus. Like they have this huge greenhouse. It's amazing. It was so
That's
cool to take
cool.
that tour. It's a really great place. If you're an equestrian, you can bring your horse there if you have one. If not, they have horses that you can take lessons with, and it's really cool. And the campus, the campus is gorgeous, and it's around some really beautiful nature. The Appalachian Trail is not too far from campus, so if you're really into outdoorsy stuff, it really has a little something for everyone. And yeah, so I think that would be a really good hidden gem that I think maybe a lot of our students at Gallon haven't heard of.
For sure. You could
Well,
take your
that
horse
sounds
with you. That's
yeah.
always.
And the other thing, Oh, sorry, go on.
was going to say, if people want to learn, more directly about your visit, I know you wrote a blog post for us,
I
on the
did,
Gallon
yeah.
website's blog about your time at Sweetbriar. So, if anyone is interested,
Yeah.
that's a good place to find out.
Yeah, and another like just another thing I really love is that it has a super strong alumni base. If you Google Sweetbriar, you can find that, several years ago they were going through kind of some financial hard times. There's been a lot of in the last 10 years, a lot of small liberal arts schools, at least on the East Coast, that have been closing due to financial issues. And Sweetbriar, they totally had a huge comeback because their alumni base was so passionate about the school. They were like, we're not going down without a fight. And, they're back to thriving, as opposed to where they were maybe 6 or 7 years ago. So
Well, and
very
that's
cool.
such an interesting, point that I think is something that a lot of times students miss about a school, or that's not like a readily accessible fact, is sort of how involved a college's alumni are, and how sort of excited they feel about supporting the university, because I think that does sort of have effects on current students as well, in terms of, ability to network, ability to find summer internships and jobs eventually, and it often results in having just more resources for the college if alumni can contribute financially. So that's such a good point that is, and I think is something that we often miss in the college search, when we're focusing on things like, size of the college, location of the college, what the strong academic programs are, is, how do the people who went to that school feel about it, and in what ways are they engaged, and how does that influence current students? So, that's such a cool point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had read that story just recently and didn't realize that. And it is pretty amazing how they kind of came to the rescue of the school that they felt so passionate about. I always like it in college visits, in presentations, when they talk about the alumni engagement and their willingness to, mentor students, and that network that can be so valuable to, especially the seniors that are looking on to it's time to get into the workforce, or for internships and all of that. Like, that connection is really important. So Emma, we will finish our conversation today by asking a little more about your life outside of work. What are some things that you love to do when you're not busy college counseling?
Yeah, so I oh gosh, what do I do when I'm not college counseling? So I'm a big reader. I'm currently reading Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain, which is a wild other, learning about the restaurant industry. I'm like, we have very different lives. So that's fun. My wife and I have a dog named Banjo, and he is absolutely insane, very energetic boy. He's only about a year old, so we definitely try our best to get his wiggles out as much as possible, taking him to the dog park and long walks and stuff. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'd consider myself a pretty low-key person. I really enjoy my work, but I try not to keep that as my whole life, and go to the movies and hang out. So I don't know. I feel like I don't have as many hobbies as a normal person. I'm a little bit more of a homebody than others.
What
Well, you had that
yeah.
experience finding, you're like from Georgetown on, especially finding that balance and thinking about, I'm opting out of hustle culture and I want to do a great job for work that I love, and then kind of, decompress and do what makes you
Yeah.
feel recharged.
Yeah, and I've had to be, sometimes I can be a little bit like super intense about work, and I really want to be conscious of burnout. And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll even block time off on my calendar to be like, this is time where you do nothing and there's nothing you have to be doing right now, and you can do whatever you want. Just to kind of force myself to make sure that I'm in that habit of not getting so engaged to the point where it all becomes my life. So, and I'm really lucky to work at a place like Gallon where I feel like all of you really understand that too.
Well, and it's an example to set for students, right? That
Definitely.
being
They
healthy
often
and
don't take my advice on that, and that is totally fine.
Emma, I have two follow-up questions. One is, what kind of dog is Banjo?
He is a treeing walker coon hound, so he loves howling and protecting our yard from all of the people that dare walk by. So yeah, he's very energetic and very kind of territorial, but he's very sweet and cuddly once we've gotten all of his energy out. So the howling can be a little much, but we'll work on
Nice.
it.
Awesome. I'm a dog person who doesn't own a dog, so I sort of try to live vicariously through other people's pets. So
Oh, amazing.
I love
Amazing.
hearing about them. And then my other question is like, what are sort of, it doesn't have to be your favorite of all time, but like love hearing about what people are reading and what books they love the most. Any book recommendations or like favorite reads of all time?
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. One book that I can never pick a favorite. One book that I really loved, though, was The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. It went kind of viral on TikTok. I also love TikTok, which I love and hate, but because it gets very addicting. But yeah, it went kind of viral on TikTok, and so I decided I was gonna give it a read. And yeah, it's really good. So highly
Is that
recommend.
that's a Taylor Jenkins read, right?
Yes, yep.
Nice. I for perhaps obvious reasons became obsessed with the book Carrie Soto Is Back, the one about
Oh, I have it. I haven't started it yet, though. But that makes sense because you play tennis.
the no, but I like a lot of her books. No, well, this is awesome, Emma. It's been such a pleasure to chat with you as always, and thanks again for joining us today. And until next time, everyone, take care.
Thank
Yeah,
you,
thank you so
Emma.
much for having me.